Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Doing good? I don't know if y'all know, but there's a big sporting event going on today. Y'all know about that? It's the big game. If you're promoting it, it's the big game. It's illegal to use the term Super Bowl if you're promoting something, whether you're making money or not. Just so you know, and hope y'all enjoy that. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. excuse me. We have been talking about this sermon is In His Steps. And that's our theme for the year. Is we want to follow in the steps of Jesus. It's what we want everybody to be focused on. It's what we're asking you to give attention to. And in reality, this is simply the way Jesus expects us to live as his followers. Okay? And Tim asked me to talk about keeping step or stepping through our problems. Now, there's a whole bunch of different ways I can go with this. And I could talk for a long time. Okay? We could have a whole bunch of points about this. And, but we want to keep in theme of what we're talking about. Okay? And we're talking about in his steps. We're talking about keeping step. I talked about that 2 weeks ago about keeping step with his spirit. And this is the way we're going to approach this. And now one thing before I get started, I want to be plain or want to follow through. I want everybody to try to connect as best as possible. You know, because when we hear words, our minds instantly go somewhere. You know, when you hear the word problems or problem, your mind can go somewhere. When you're talking about something in your life that you would like different, you may use the word problem. You may use another word. You may use the word hardship. Okay? I'm having a difficulty right now. I have a difficult situation. All right? You may use the word suffering. If it's an extremely, has an extreme impact on you, you know, and you're feeling the pressure of the situation, you may say that you are suffering. And all these words, guys, I want to let you know, all these words are words that the Bible uses to describe these things. I love the way God has given us His Word, and He gives us, says the same thing in multiple ways. And I believe that just is because of our limitations as humans and our understanding, and that one set of words speaks to me more than another set of words. And so, guys, as we talk about problems today, I'm probably going to use the word problems the most. But I want you to think about, basically, what's some circumstance in your life you'd like to see different that's causing difficulty, hardship, suffering, inconvenience. Okay? Sometimes that's all a problem is an inconvenience. Okay? And I think it's fair that you can group that in there. If you have something in your life and you look at it as a problem, as a difficulty, as a big thing, for you it is. And what we're talking about today does. Hopefully you can see the application. You can see how Jesus wants you to keep stepping through it. To keep stepping through your problem. Your challenge. That's the word I like to use. And if I'm really feeling frisky, I'll use the term growth opportunity. Okay? I'm not facing a problem. I'm facing a growth opportunity. I tend to use that phrase when speaking to someone else about their problem. Okay? This is their growth opportunity. And I've had it thrown back at me, by the way. But guys, these are a part of life. And it's one of the things that you need to realize, and I'm not going to get real deep into it, and that's why I'm just talking about it now in my introduction. Okay? There is a Christian myth out there that basically is, if I'm following Jesus and if I do enough things right, everything should go smoothly in my life. That is not just a myth, that's a lie. Okay? And I know that there's some churches that preach things very similar to that. Especially with regards to your finances. Everything should go smoothly. And they're making a lot of money telling you that. Okay, but that's not the reality of life. The Bible does not paint that picture. I mean, I can open up any chapter of the Bible, most likely, or any book of the Bible and show you where it shows the exact opposite. You see, because guys, in the very beginning, in chapter 3 of the Bible, after Adam and Eve ate the fruit they weren't supposed to eat, God tells Adam something that took me years to apply to my life. He says, you're going to have to work the ground. By the sweat of your brow, you're going to work the ground to produce fruit. And what's the ground going to do? Produce thorns and thistles. Now, for a long time in my life, I'm talking well into my 40s, I didn't think that applied to me. Because I'm not a farmer. You know, I got around that. I was an auto glass technician. I installed auto glass, owned my own auto glass business. And I still lived under this myth that things should go smoothly for me, or at least more smoothly than they were. And I remember the day, plain as day, I was at my shop in Greenville. Mike Kiffmeyer was coming over to hang out with me for the day. I was putting a door glass in, and there was some problem that was totally outside of my ability to deal with. The right part had been ordered. The right part, cardboard box that the door glass came in had the right part number on it. The piece of glass had the right part number on it. It was for the other side. And I had a busy day, and I've got these people's car in my shop, all tore apart, and I have the wrong glass, and now I have to try to figure it out, and why can't this ever go smooth? I do everything possible. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and goes, Gary, it's just thorns and thistles. You should, not only should you not be upset about this, you should expect this. You should plan this. And in reality, Gary, you should be excited because life is playing out as exactly as I told Adam it was going to. You're going to work and the creation is going to resist you. There's going to be problems. There's going to be difficulties. Now, guys, let's get real. Some of you look at that and go, what's the big deal? But to me, it was a big deal at the time. Okay, it was. It's not as big a deal as some of the things you guys are dealing with. All right? And so I want you to look at this, guys. The Bible says that we're going to have those kind of problems. The Bible tells us that life is even more difficult when I don't follow Jesus. Jesus talked about this at the end of Matthew chapter 27. We talked about, you know, you're building your life on one of two things. Either on the Word of God, which is like building on a rock, or building on something else. Not the Word of God, and you build it on the sand. You're going to have more problems. But it also says that as a follower of Jesus, I'm going to have problems that a non-follower might not have. In 2 Timothy, he tells us that anybody who wishes to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Yeah, you don't see that one. You won't see 2 Timothy 3:12 on a poster today at the Super Bowl. Okay, you probably won't see it at church very much, but I'm a little different. Jesus said in John 16:33 that in this world we will have many troubles. But he says to take heart, we've overcome the world. You look at the lives of the greatest servants of God, the most popular ones, and they had to deal with some pretty big stuff. You look at Job. You look at Daniel and his three friends. You look at Joseph. You look at Moses. You look at Jeremiah. And guys, let's be real here. A lot of those people I just mentioned, their major problem that we would look at is needs to be taken care of and God needs to resolve it. He did resolve Job's issues. Okay? A lot of these guys, he did not. Joseph was sold as a slave by his brothers, and he served as a slave for the rest of his life. He was a servant of an ungodly king. Daniel and his three friends were again taken captivity and lived the rest of their life in service to an evil king. Oh, and did I mention that, you know, part of that service was being castrated? Okay. No wife, no kids, no family. That's how they were going to live. That was never changed. God never miraculously changed their circumstances. You see, guys, and I mention all this because there's so much difficulty, hardship, suffering in the Bible that it talks about. And there's much to be learned about it. Now, we've been talking about keeping step in the Spirit. And I want to look at these two passages here. They're on your screen. The first one's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, let us live by this. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Okay, it's kind of our theme passage where we get this in his steps and keep in step. But I want to briefly mention here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, it's what I consider a parallel passage to this. Again, God's word giving us the same thing in a little bit different ways. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. You see, guys, you want to know what's this keeping in step with the Spirit? This is keeping in step with the Spirit. It's having my mind set on what the Spirit desires in my life. It's taking the step the Spirit wants me to take through my problems. Okay? Most of us tend to approach our problems in one of two ways. Okay? I believe it's, first of all, it's we want to fix it ourselves. You know, I can do this. I can take care of this. I can make things better. I have the ability. I can change things. And we leave God completely out of the picture. Or we only ask Him to help us do what we think needs to be done. The second way we do it is we focus on others and the circumstances and we want God to change them. We want God just to take care of it. Poof, magic, it's all changed, it's all gone. And I don't believe that that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to go through our problems. He has a plan for our problems, as we're going to see. And what we want to look at today, it's not in your notes, you'll have to look on the screen. We are going to read the entire chapter of Psalms 73. Okay? You want to know about dealing with problems, guys? This is the chapter. It's fascinating. It's touched me. It's been important to me for years. So let's read it together. It says, for sure God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. What's he saying? God's going to be good to me. If I'm pure in heart, if I can do things right. He goes on, he says, but as for me, my feet came close to falling. My steps had almost tripped, for I was jealous of the proud when I saw all that was going well with the sinful. For they suffer no pain in their death, and their body is fat. They do not have the troubles of other men or suffer like other men, so they wear pride around their neck. Fighting covers them like a coat. They are so fat that their eyes are pushed out. The crazy thoughts of their heart run wild. They laugh at the truth and speak sinful things about making it hard for others. They speak from a high place. They say bad things against heaven, and their tongue walks through the earth. And so his people return to this place and drink water from a full cup. They say, how does God know? Is there much learning with the Most High? See, this is what the sinful are like. They always have it easy and their riches grow. For no good reason, I have kept my heart pure and have not sinned. For I have suffered all day long. I have been punished every morning. I would not have been true to your children if I had spoken this way. It was too hard for me when I tried to understand this until I went into the holy place of God. Then I understood their end. For sure, you set the sinful in places where there is danger at every step. You throw them down to be destroyed. How they are destroyed right away, they come to an end with much fear. Like a dream when one wakes up. So you will hate what they look like when you rise up, O Lord. My heart was troubled, and I was hurt inside. I was without reason and did not know better. I was like an animal before you. Yet I'm always with you. You hold me by your right hand. You will lead me by telling me what I should do. Keep in step. And after this, you will bring me into shining greatness. Whom have I in heaven but you? I want nothing more on earth but you. My body and heart might grow weak, but God is the strength of my heart and all I need forever. For you see those who are far from you will be lost from you forever. You have destroyed all those who are not faithful to you, but as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord, my Lord God, my safe place, so I may tell of all the things you have done. Guys, I love that passage. I love it. I love to see the struggle. I love the rawness of the psalmist's thoughts and the way he just pours his thoughts out, his sin, as he later tells us. He just pours it out. And I love the way God leads him through it. And dare I say, solves his problem. And so what we want to talk about today, guys, as we look at this, is if I keep in step with this, what's going to happen if I keep in step with my with the Spirit through my problems? First thing, guys, is I'm going to see purpose in my problems. Okay? As I've already said, when we have a problem, we just want it solved. Why do I use the term growth opportunity? Because that was how I used to not see it. I used to want to just think, see things solved. I wanted it fixed. Wanted somebody else to take care of it. That's the way it was. I didn't see God working in... Let me rephrase it. I wanted God to work to fix my problem. I was not expecting God to work to fix me. Okay, you want to know what's going on. What's the will of God in your problem? He wants to fix you. Okay, in some way, it may even be minor way, but he has a plan for you. Let's read this in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. It says, and we know that in all things, what's that mean? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Your problems. This is what he's talking about. Doesn't matter what's going on, God is working. This is what he's talking about. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. People want to know what the purpose of God is in their life. We're going to talk about it. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Guys, you want to circle something? You want to underline it? Could you underline that? Conform to the image of his son. That is the answer to what is your purpose for life. Why were you created? Why are you here? It is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And what's going on there is Jesus was the only perfect representation of God, the only human being to completely embody and to show the world what it was like to be God. And we are supposed to, as followers of Him, be conformed to that same image. Which is basically just we're being recalled back to the original purpose. It's all Jesus, this is what Jesus has done. I don't want to minimize that. But guys, that is the purpose. What's going on? I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what circumstances you want to get changed right now. But I guarantee you that there is some part of your life that is being exposed that Jesus wants to be different. That Jesus wants to be different. Guys, I was just sharing with our small group, and we're kind of tuned into this, and I was sharing about a situation that I found myself in recently, and didn't like it, and wasn't sure how to react, but I was sure of one thing. I wasn't communicating a Jesus attitude. I was, and as I was talking with him, there's head shaking. No, you weren't, Gary. And I'm talking about the situation. I'm going, maybe the whole purpose of this situation is just to shake me. I mean, basically it was just the Spirit shouting, you're out of step, Gary. You're not conforming to the image of Jesus. And I've got to be in that situation again here recently. And guess what? I did better. I'm not perfect yet, okay? But I did better. And guys, this is what Jesus is trying to do. This is what keeping in step with the Spirit is all about. I'll see the purpose in the problems. The question you need to ask, guys, and I talk about this rather extensively, okay, because this is the core of what we are as followers of Jesus. The question is, am I looking how to be like Jesus when I'm facing problems? That's the question I want you to ask yourself. Second thing that's going to take place when I'm keeping in step with the Spirit is I'm going to see my sin more clearly. Hello. Is that on your morning to-do list? When you wake up today, I want to see my sin more clearly. That's a prayer that gets prayed late at night. Okay? But guys, I'm just telling you, it just happens. It just happens. You see, as I've already told you, one of the ways that we focus on problems is we want to focus on the other person. Okay, I'm assuming if there's a conflict or relationship problem, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a child, whether it's a coworker, whether it's an employer or boss, when we have that, there's some kind of conflict, there's some kind of problem there, our tendency is to focus on the other person and what we at least think and believe they're doing wrong. Is that right? Is that fair? That is what we want to do. And if you notice in this Psalm 73 that we read, that is what he did. He focused on what the evil people were doing, what the ungodly were doing, and the perceived benefits of what they received. Look at this. It's in your notes. We read this already. But this is verses 17 to 16 through 16 and 21 and 22 of Psalms 73. He says, so I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task it is. Then I went into the sanctuary of God and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Look at this. He's focused on the wicked. He's focused on evil people. And he goes into the temple of God, the presence of God, the sanctuary of God. And what's he do? He understands the destiny of the wicked. Let's keep reading. That's not all that happens. Down in verse 21, he says, then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. You see that, guys? He's focused on the wicked. He goes into the presence of God. He's trying to, why does he go into the presence of God, guys? He's trying to keep step with the Spirit. He's not getting answers on his own. He's not figuring it out on his own. He goes to the creator of the world and says, this is what's going on. Help me out. And God says, basically, don't worry about them. Let's talk about you. And guys, you see the humility of this man. Keeping in step with the Spirit requires great humility. To be able to acknowledge, do you look at this? Bitterness. I was all torn up inside. I was foolish. I was ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. I think he sees his sin clearly. And guys, let's get real. He's excited about it. He's happy to see his sin. Does that make you happy? Guys, it should. It should, because when you see your sin, you're seeing an answer to your problem. See, he's saying, this is what was giving me problems. It wasn't all these people and their evil actions. God's, they're going to get theirs. God made it clear. They're going to get theirs. But what's the problem? I'm the problem. My sin is the problem. And you see, guys, that's what the Spirit of God is going to reveal to you. When you are walking through problems and following or making an effort to follow the Spirit of God, that is what he's going to show you. And you need to be prepared for it. Let me read you this passage in 1 Peter. It's not in your notes. He's talking about trials. 1 Peter 1 and 2 both are excellent books to look at with regards to dealing with difficult times. Because in all this, talking about their trials, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, you've had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You see, guys, this is the challenge, and I want you to know, you want to keep in step with the Spirit through your problems, he's going to reveal your sin. Because you're in the presence of perfection. You're in the presence of light, and light exposes the darkness within us. The challenge is, how will I respond to that? Okay, am I going to be like the psalmist and show humility? And be glad that I see my part, my issues, my ungodliness? Why? So I can be like Jesus. Third thing. It's going to happen when we're keeping in step through my problems. Is I'm going to see others differently. I am going to see others differently. That next passage in your notes, we've already read that all. I'm not going to read it again. It's just about them seeing what's really going to happen to the ungodly. Okay? And seeing that they will be destroyed suddenly. They have no future in the promises of God. But guys, I want to show you a couple other passages here that shed light on seeing others differently. You know, when Jesus was here on earth, can you imagine being Jesus here on earth and you're perfect and you ever see everything right? Can you imagine being in this world? I mean, the whole reality of him being perfect in any and every situation is the degree of difficulty is brought up exponentially when you realize the sinfulness of the humanity he was surrounded by. Even those closest to him, the 12, they didn't get it. They betrayed him. They deserted him. They didn't understand what he was talking about. One of them tried to rebuke him one time. And he always, 100% of the time, responds the correct way. But look at this. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, when he saw the crowds. What crowds? What am I talking about? This is this sea of sinful, evil people. People who are not like him. Who are not representing his Father. He had compassion on them. Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. See, guys, how do you view your enemies? How do you view that person involved in your life or group of people involved in your life who maybe control circumstances in your life, like a boss or an employer or the government? How do you view them? See, Jesus viewed them as sheep without a shepherd. They are just following along. They're just being led by the nose. They don't really know what's going on. You know, how much compassion do you have for those involved in your problem that you perceive are causing your problem, are in the way of your problem being solved? How do you look at them? I'll be honest, guys, I want to get to the point with some situations that I feel it's right just to want bad stuff to happen to them. Okay, I prayed this one time several years ago. I had a situation and I said, bring them down, God. Break them. Expose them. God desires repentance. But he gave me time to repent. Will I give my enemies the same time? Will I have the same desire for them to repent? Or do I have the desire for them to suffer the consequences of their sin? We need to see others differently. Look at this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And guys, please understand that, especially this next passage, he is talking specifically, or not, maybe I'm overstepping bounds. Let's just read this. It says, opponents, was that them who oppose us? Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Now, guys, I believe, I hesitated to say this, and I'm open to being wrong here, Bob. You're the Bible scholar. When he's talking about opponents and gently instructing, he's talking about other Christians. Is that fair? He's talking about people who teach things up that are incorrect. Okay, that was going on from the beginning, by the way. Now, I don't know about you, but when I know of somebody who is teaching something about God and misleading people and leading them astray, I don't desire their repentance. I desire them to be exposed and taken down. And guess what? That ain't from the Spirit. If I choose to embrace those thoughts and keep hold on to those attitudes, guess what? I'm not keeping in step with the Spirit. I'm following my own very, very selfish desires. Guys, one of the things, this is a side note, back to when I was talking about, you know, different words hit us different ways. And that's really one of the good things about all the different translations of the Bible. And on Bible Gateway, if you select a single verse, one of the options below it will be to see that verse in all the translations they have there. And it's very cool because you come up with some very powerful translations that you might not otherwise read. And what I want to read to you from is, it's more than just Romans 8, chapter 5, which we've already read. I don't know where it starts and ends. It's in the Message, which isn't a translation. It's a paraphrase. But that don't mean it's always wrong. And this is that section in Romans 8. Verse 5 is included in it for some reason. When they do this single verse in every translation in the Message, they bring in a group of verses. So I'm going to read this to you. It's in the Message. It says, those who think that they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what He is doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. Guys, my whole point when I read that is when we have a problem, we need to look at how God sees the people who are in that problem, involved in that problem, and we need to view them the same way. Fourth thing is going to happen as we keep in step with the Spirit through our problems is you're going to find God. I'm going to find God walking beside me. I'm going to find God walking beside me. Have you ever had the desire to know that God is with you? You want to feel His presence. You want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He has heard you, that He sees what's going on, and that He's with you. You see, guys, this is what happens to the psalmist here. This is what he says. He goes, yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Guys, I want to let you know that his sentiment, his words, his emotion, his feeling in that verse is available to you. If you're wanting to know about God's presence in your life, he is available to you. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about keeping in step with the Spirit. I've heard the Holy Spirit described as the empowering presence of Jesus in your life. And that's why the significant deal about Jesus going to heaven, he says, unless I go, I can't send the Holy Spirit. And guys, we get the Holy Spirit when we're baptized to live inside of us. We have the presence of God available to us at any time of the day or night. You see, the psalmist here, that it wasn't available to him. And in verse 17, that's what it said. He goes, then I went into your sanctuary. And for us, the equivalent might be, then I started looking for your Spirit's leading in my life. Then I started listening for your Spirit's words. Then I threw my thoughts, attitudes, and actions away and asked the Spirit to show me. See, guys, the Holy Spirit is with you. What the psalmist is experiencing here, you can experience. You can know that God is with you. I mean, what a better way. You're dealing with a problem. Let's say you're dealing with a problem at work and you're in a conflict or you're dealing with something. And all of a sudden, instead of you get this picture, you know, I can respond the way I always have, and I know where it's going to go, and I know what I'm going to feel, and I know what even my problems I may create by being that way, even though I think I'm right. Or I can be like Jesus. I can overlook an offense. I can forgive. I can see that person as being taken captive and that person needing me to show them Jesus. Guys, we had a couple from Missouri, Connie and Dub, which is short for W, I think. Anyway, do our marriage retreat. And one of the most powerful things about Connie's testimony, and y'all know this, you have heard the story. She spoke about it publicly. Her husband had an affair, cheated on her. I believe a younger woman. I don't know, just another woman. And her husband was a follower of Jesus, or had been. And after he divorces Connie and marries this other woman who's not a believer in Jesus, guess what he wants? He wants his new wife to be a believer in Jesus. He wants her to be a Christian. And so how does he go about that? He asks his ex-wife, who he committed adultery on, betrayed and divorced, if she would study the Bible with and show his new wife Jesus. And she did it. She did it. Guys, she understood the presence of God. She understood, was able to see, to make a decision. This is what the Spirit leads. This is where I want to go on my own. And she very quickly chose to follow Jesus. Guys, God's beside you. His Holy Spirit lives inside you if you are a follower of Jesus. Just understand what he's trying to do. Okay? It ain't just solve your problems. The fifth thing that's going to happen if I keep in step with the Spirit through my problems is I'm going to discover the best outcome. I am going to discover the best outcome. Guys, I've owned my own business since 1993. Several years ago, before I had managers at the car wash, I changed my job description. It wasn't manager, it wasn't owner. My job description was problem solver. It was one problem after another from day to day, and I had to go solve it. Guys, I believe the biggest challenge that we have in facing our problems is we try to influence or orchestrate a result that we want. Okay? We try to influence or orchestrate a desire, something that we want, and God wants to give us the best outcome. He doesn't just want us to get through it. He doesn't want us to just survive it. He has something better in mind, as we've already talked about. He wants each of us to be more like Jesus. And that is the best outcome. Guys, I told people years ago, I told God years ago, I said, guys, I found great security and identity in my business. And I told God, if you want to take it all away, you do it. I'm wanting something else. I didn't know what I wanted. I just knew God, I don't want to rely on my business. I don't want to rely on my income. I want to rely on you. And I was offering it up, saying, you take it away. Guys, look at this in Psalm 73 again. Remember how bitter he was. Remember his frustration at the early part of this chapter. And he says, you guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Do you believe that? Because I want to tell you, guys, the Holy Spirit is trying to lead you to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. You see, guys, we need to desire God's answer, God's resolution, God's into our problem, hardship, struggle, more than we do our own. Guys, let me ask you a question. What if you have a situation, I don't know what it is, you know, you just some set of circumstances, and you're going to have to come to grips with, this is never going to change. This is never going to change. Whether it's a relationship with a parent, a sibling, a spouse, you know, you're at a job that you feel like you have to stay because your kids like to eat. And let's be real. The Bible says you don't take care of your family, you're worse than a non-believer. You know, and you're willing to work, but this is the only job that's available. You've looked for other jobs and nothing comes available. And this is it. And you can list the reasons why it's miserable. And maybe because there's bad people around you. It may be because there's evil people around you. It may be because you just don't like the work. It may be because you don't like the schedule. I don't know. But God says, my desire for you is to represent me in these circumstances, and they ain't gonna change. Would you view that as a glorious destiny? Because Jesus does. If you'll keep in step with His Spirit. Because it's not just a matter of, well, I'll suck it up and survive. Jesus doesn't want you to just do that. Jesus wants you to represent Him. Jesus wants you to be like Him in whatever those circumstances are. And it may be a situation where that's the only way you're going to continue to change is if He leaves you in those circumstances. And it may be that He's got something even more spectacular planned for you that you don't know anything about. Unless you keep in step with His Spirit through your problems. You see, guys, look, I'm going to close out with this verse here in James chapter 5. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Do this so that God can heal you. When a good man prays, great things happen. And guys, I'm going to let you know, I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what set of circumstances you'd like changed. I don't know what problems you're having right now. But God is wanting to make great things happen. And when you pray to Him about it, we already talked about being prepared to confess your sin. But you also need to be prepared to follow His steps, for Him to show you, for Him to reveal Himself to you, and not just solve the problem, resolve the situation the way that you desire. And so guys, I don't know where you're at today. If I could put a bet on it, today's a Super Bowl, place a bet, right? If I could place a bet on it, I would bet that every person in this room has a problem right now they'd like resolved. Has some circumstances they'd like changed. Has some hardship, difficulty, even persecution that they would like to go away. So I believe this lesson should speak to everybody. How are you doing? Keeping in step with the Spirit through your problem. See, because I refer to these as growth opportunities because that's what I believe what they are. When you're looking at something that won't change, Jesus is wanting your attention. And you may ask the question, or you may not ask the question to yourself, what's the Spirit leading here? And you need to. That's what Jesus wants you to do. And guys, we would encourage you to do that. That's our focus for the year, is in His steps. Talking about the steps of Jesus, and we've got His Spirit inside us that we can keep in step with. Especially, not even just even in our problems, but especially in our problems.
Let's pray. Father, it is exciting to read the end of that psalm and to think about you having a glorious destiny for each one of us. Most of us live what we would describe as ordinary lives. There's nothing spectacular about it. There's nothing that stands out about it. But Father, what's going to make it spectacular is as we live our life following the steps of your Spirit and looking like you, being conformed to your image. Father, that's going to look a little bit different for all of us. The circumstances will be different. But Father, it's exciting for me to think about people in this room, weeks, months, years from now, being able to talk about how they never imagined what you were going to do. And all they did was try to follow your Spirit to become like you. Father, I pray you open our eyes, everybody's eyes. Father, I pray that this week, whatever circumstances the person in this room is facing, whatever problem, whatever difficulty, that Father, your Spirit shouts loudly to them during that as they are considering the problem, as they are focusing on the problem. And they, Father, they know that you have a glorious destiny planned. And Father, quite honestly, your direction is pretty clear if we'll look for it and we'll follow it. Father, thank you for Jesus, that he has been such an incredible example and his life continues to show us how we can live like you. And it's in his most powerful name that we pray. Amen.
You are forever in my life. You see me through the seasons. Cover me with your hand and lead me in your righteousness. And I look to you'll never